Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The World Transformed on the Blog Talk Radio Network. The World Transformed is an audio production of Speculous Media, and you can find us online at worldtransformed.com. This program explores a convergence of emerging technologies and emerging possibilities which are at the heart of this, the greatest period of transformation in human history. Our world is changing in ways that are difficult to predict, sometimes even difficult to imagine. The World Transformed is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. We're not here so much to tell you about the future as we are to encourage you to think about your future and to consider what may be the biggest transformation of them all, the one that will occur in your world, in your life, the one that begins with recognizing and acting on the vast possibilities that are unfolding before you and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does that amazing future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I am super fantastic. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. I am hopeful that I do not lose power here in Shreveport. We're having some pretty intense weather, tornado watch, and thunderstorms all around. But, you know, I'm doing this show from a laptop with a cell phone, and I've got a six-hour battery on the router. So maybe if the power goes down, there's a fair chance there won't even be a hiccup. So, anyway, there we are. So
we'll all right. Well, I like the disaster preparedness. Seems like we get this severe weather one time of the year when it's potentially hurricanes, and now we're going into this other time of the year down there in Louisiana where it's severe thunderstorms and tornadoes and those kinds of things. So, just good times all the way around. We had a blizzard yesterday in Denver. So, keeping the world up to date on our current weather. Well, you guys stay safe and dry down there for sure. Hey, you know, last week we did a show on unexpected futures, and it occurred to me that for some of our listeners, this week might actually be an unexpected future because we've been talking this augmented reality show for so long. And now tonight we're actually going to do it. I wonder.
That's right.
I wonder if we're surprising anyone. Sound off in the chat room if you were betting against this show taking place tonight. Of course, we always knew it was going to happen. But sometimes when you want to put the right group of people together, it takes a little bit longer to get the show organized. And so that gave us some runway to talk up this subject. And we're very excited to be talking about augmented reality tonight. And we're real excited to have two very special guests with us. And you know what, Stephen, I think we're going to waste no time. Let's just bring out our guests and we'll get this thing started.
Oh yeah, it's worth the wait, I think.
All right. Well, first I want to introduce Colin O'Malley. Colin is the IT director for Legacy Academy Charter School in Elizabeth, Colorado. Legacy Academy is the first iSchool in Colorado. That's iSchool, like iPod, not high school. iSchool in Colorado, and one of the first schools to implement a one-to-one deployment of iPads. Prior to Legacy Academy, Colin worked for Apple Inc. for nearly 6 years in Colorado as well as in London, England. Colin has extensive knowledge and experience on Apple products and software. He also holds certifications as a Mac technician, as well as a Final Cut Pro and Aperture. His passion for emerging technologies has led him to experiment with augmented reality in an education setting, exploring new ideas to engage students. Colin, welcome to The World Transformed.
How are you doing? I'm doing quite well.
Well, we are super fantastic. Very excited to have you with us and looking forward to talking a little bit about what it's like participating in an iSchool. One of these days, Colin, we'll have to get one of the students on to give us
You know, it's funny. We actually just got a radio station going at our school You can actually find that at legacyk8.org. It's in the upper left-hand corner. But we've been it's been a little while coming, but we've got it up within the last few weeks or so. And our students are actually starting to record their own sort of blog radios, mostly sports and comedy and stuff like that. But it's really fun to see them getting into it. And
very cool.
Really,
very
is,
cool.
Really fun.
Podcasting, of course, is the wave of the future, as we were just saying before the program began. And no one knows like that, like our second guest, Joseph Rampolla. Joseph has been a law enforcement officer for 18 years. He became a police officer in 1995 and currently holds the rank of captain for the Park Ridge Police Department. He supervised numerous criminal investigations within the department and oversees the Detective Bureau. In 2003, he was assigned to a regional computer crimes task force. He enjoys teaching the topics of cyber crimes, augmented reality, virtual world, cyberbullying, and advanced undercover internet relay chat, IRC investigations. He's become an augmented reality junkie and dreams about how AR can make our world a better place while protecting society. Joe's the creator of the Augmented Reality Dirt podcast and blog. The AR Dirt podcast is one of the first podcasts dedicated to the field of AR. That's how we learned about Joe. And it explores cutting-edge and emerging technologies that influence society, cybercrime, and our legal system. Joe recently co-authored the book Augmented Reality and Emerging Technologies Guide to AR, which was released in December of 2012. Joe Rampolla, welcome to The World Transformed.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much. I'm really excited to be here. And let's get geeky in a little bit and talk about some really cool stuff and future stuff.
All right. Let's get our geek on. What do you say?
Agreed.
I'm ready. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's do one thing first. Let's catch up members of our audience who don't know what we're talking about. So could we take just a moment and explain briefly what we mean by augmented reality? What is it and why we're interested in it? And Joe, would you like to take the first crack at that?
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, when we start talking about augmented reality, a lot of people have different definitions of it. Basically, augmented reality is taking a digital or computer-generated information, and it will basically enhance one of your senses. The most popular way would usually be through visual, to have these generated information to pop up before your eyes in a live or real-time environment. So one of the kind of the simplistic ways to talk about AR where people understand it is a primitive way to talk about it is if you're watching a football game and you see the first down marker that is on your TV screen, there's not really a big yellow line across the football field. That is a digitally generated yellow line that is overlaid in a real-time environment to enhance the user's experience. So that's a real primitive definition or example of it. But as we start to look at really powerful new technologies, it takes that way beyond and it becomes a really live interactive way with these generated imagery, but also we also have our other senses that also could be augmented too, and that could be a part of augmented reality also.
That's really interesting. You know, I haven't really heard much about other senses being augmented. I can immediately think of how the auditory sense could be augmented, but presumably the tactile sense, even olfactory, there could be augmentation going on, couldn't there?
Absolutely. Yeah, and we don't want to leave that out because truly augmented reality would be all of the senses and not necessarily just, you know, visual. But, you know, primarily people focus mostly on the visual because there's so many different ways that we can overlay and we can see it. And, you know, it's just the most popular way that we know.
Colin, anything to add to that introduction
to
the subject? Or?
I really like, in its simplest form, enhancing the real world with digital information. I really like how you said that it's not just visual, that we have other senses as well, and kind of getting into that late, a bit later with some other questions. It is something that, we as humans engineered this thing called the keyboard, and we engineered, tablets and stuff like that. And so our interaction with technology, with our physical senses, our, tactile touch and all that sort of stuff is constantly changing and adapting. And that is a big, big thing in the next sort of augmented reality. But I think a big thing to define augmented reality is to separate it from virtual reality a bit. And that's where virtual reality has been around for quite some time, is kind of placing yourself within a virtual world where you might be able to look around using various different technologies to do that. But augmented reality is typically going to be real-time most often. That's at least some of that sort of future stuff is going to be real-time. And it's enhancing what you already know is the real world, what you see.
So, Colin, I'm going to give you the second part of the question first, and then we'll swing it back to Joe. Why do we care? Why is this important? Why is this interesting?
Well, I think that for the most part, it's slowly changing the way that we interact with objects that weren't even digital beforehand. This is going to be driving down the road, walking down the street. You may see from things like Google Glass, you're interacting with things that are may not be digital. And I really think that pulling this into our world now really enhances overall life and allows us to take away big clunky computers and allow us to display almost anything we want wherever we want.
All right. What do you think, Joe? Why do we care about augmented reality? Why is it important for us?
Well, I'm going to add to what Colin said, and the reason why every one of your listeners should care about augmented reality is because whatever they do in their day job or whatever they do in their spare time, whether they're fishing, whether they're boat captain, whether they are a truck driver, whether they work in a store, whatever you do in life, day job or just for fun, augmented reality is going to touch your life. So it's going to transform your entire life one day, and we can debate how long it's going to take. But it really is a game changer, and I've been joking that it's bigger than the toaster. It's going to be bigger than the toaster. It's going to be
and that is
just
huge.
Amazing.
Okay, that's a good one. Yeah.
When we start messing with the toaster, we're getting big.
Yeah, right.
Or the microwave. But it really is a game changer, and the question is not, you know, will it be a game changer? It's just when is it going to be a game changer? And you know, as we start to see technology speeding up, we're getting, you know, more powerful you know, smartphones, more powerful computing, it's going to change everybody's life. So that's why every single person I talk to, I say, you know, hey, what are you interested in? And they say, oh, well, I'm a boat captain and I like to. Great. Well, you're going to need this because you're going to be able to put on a pair of augmented reality glasses eventually, and you're going to be able to navigate as you're, you know, have your boat. You're going to be able to see an overlay of where there's dangerous spots where, you know, the shoreline might be or certain areas that might not be safe for you to go, certain ways to repair your boat on the fly, you know, through, let's say, overlays or wearing augmented reality glasses. There's just so many ways this can change your life. And there's an awesome possibilities, but there's also some scary possibilities. And as we know, with any new technology, it kind of gets bastardized. So we have to watch for those things. So from me coming from a law enforcement background, I'm the biggest proponent of augmented reality. And what I'm trying to do is as I'm interacting with some of the big players in the augmented reality field, I'm trying to kind of raise some of the issues that I think are going to take place so we can kind of deal with them up front and ahead of time. And we can still make all of the other cool things that are going to come out. But at the same time, not give bad guys a blueprint on how they can capitalize on this technology. So it's a fine balance.
True of any technology. Go ahead, Stephen.
I was just going to ask, how about some examples? Maybe we should toss this back to Joe, but I mean, some examples of how augmented reality specifically could be used in business or in maybe our social circles or whatever. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think one of the biggest things we're going to see is, I mean, for a good thing, is going to be social networking will move into the augmented reality realm. So instead of you maybe looking up my Facebook profile and searching it on your tablet or on your computer, as you meet me, your glasses will run facial recognition against me, and then visually in front of your eyes an overlay will show you my profile, will show you the things that I like, and have an interaction that takes place. Now, that's really cool. And as we walk around and as, you know, a typical smartphone knows your latitude and longitude, we know where people are moving. So you can actually have live interactions with people, even if they're not necessarily physically in front of you, but maybe only a few blocks away, or you have those, that geolocation capability. The flip side of it, though, is, you know, if you start thinking of it from, like, let's say, a social engineering aspect, if I start to meet somebody and then I can use facial recognition and find out all about their life, all the things that they like to do, I can then leverage that information, or maybe I could leverage the people that they know, the people that they work with, and then I now have access to, let's say, a corporate building that I might not normally have, but because I know, you know, from publicly available information all about that person's life and all the people that they know in their circles, I can then kind of leverage that, let's say, for a bad purpose. So there's so many good and bad aspects of these sort of things, and I think that as time goes on, we're going to have to figure that out. The other part is just kind of some of the hacking capabilities. And as you know, hackers are just, you know, causing so much damage and causing such a stir. When we start moving to this new incredible, I mean, it's really the internet in front of your eyes, theoretically. I mean, that's kind of where I see all of this moving, and to kind of maneuver it around. So there's tremendous good, there's tremendous bad. But again, I think, you know, as we focus on all of the good things, and I'm very sensitive because I don't want AR to kind of jump out of the starting gate and get a bad rap early. So, you know, and that's why I'm trying to, you know, be the biggest proponent I can of this and push it forward.
And we'll come back to the risks a little bit later. But I think it's really interesting just the broad scope that includes when you talk about, you know, the internet in front of your eyes. We think about how we're carrying it with us in our smartphone, but the idea of actually carrying it with you in your subjective experience, right, is essentially what this becomes, where it becomes part of your visual field, you know, and we were saying part of your auditory field, part of your overall experience of the world. You know, to go back to the earlier point, how transformative is that? You know, I'm not sure I'm ready to say toaster, but if you look at if you look at what a big deal the personal computer was when it showed up, and suddenly how it went up, not a notch, but exponentially when the internet came along, or the exponential increase in impact of the internet once the smartphone became big. I think it's that again, isn't it? Level of change we're seeing, not just for the applications that we're used to using, but for all new things. Well, Colin, you get in here a little bit and talk about from your experience, how does this transform education?
Well, I definitely agree with you on this is, you know, totally the next thing. I kind of related almost a little bit to something like the iPad, where everyone who thought of it, you know, originally were making jokes about just the name, and once it came out, people didn't know really what it was for, and all of a sudden they're finding its uses for every single possible thing. Same sort of thing with augmented reality. Really within education right now, we have the benefit of mobile technology. We've got mobile devices. We've got iPads in our school. So we have really already computers and devices that are allowing us to take advantage of augmented reality. Specifically, the processors and the cameras on the devices allow us to use various apps from the App Store to basically enhance the learning environment. One of the things that I really like that augmented reality does for us is it takes a static room that's, you know, four walls, may only have posters on it, and it starts turning that wall or walls into a, you know, exciting world for students. It really starts engaging them into different worlds that they really wouldn't be privy to from the previous posters. And the cool thing is that these things can change. You know, they're not staying the same. When you look at it one day and you come at it the next, it's going to have different video or different digital graphics. One of the things one of the apps that we use is an app called Erasma. It's available in the App Store and has a great back end for being able to upload whether photos, videos, or 3D content in order to be able to link that, and that's how we kind of augment reality, sort of augment our school in that way.
Yeah, I remember when I was in school, the walls were pretty exciting. We had cork boards on them and
pin exactly.
items to those boards. But when you say the content changes day to day, or it can change moment to moment, right? Or from user to user, pretty much.
It is, and that's that personal experience. You know, from one student to another, they want to share their experience, even with the student right next to them. You know, the video that they just watched on the wall, and they were able to walk around it and see it from different angles. Once they start to see some of these 3D models and stuff, it really actually starts bringing a sort of spatial awareness, which we don't think of much as learning as kids, but being able to kind of know in relation to, you know, where things are, whether it be the solar system or it be things unfathomable, as small as, you know, cells or atoms, seeing that in a physical space in front of your eyes, being able to walk around it, really, really impacts the students quite a bit.
I can imagine that it makes for a much more dynamic environment. A quick question on that, though. I look at a wall, and now I'm seeing a lesson on the solar system the Ukraine or whatever the lesson of the week is. I'm getting information contextual to what I happen to be working on. Where's that coming from? You know what I mean? I mean, how does the app know to show me what I need to see when I need to see it? Is that too nebulous a question, or does that make sense?
No. This makes a lot of sense, and this has a lot to do with where AR is now. It has a lot to do with triggers or markers, for example. The way that these apps utilize basically the walls or stagnant information is it takes a picture, and very much just like facial recognition or so, and basically kind of catalogs what that is. And so any sort of device that sees that image is going to be able to say, okay, I know where that image is, and whether or not the user is moving, the camera is able to pick up on those subtle movements and able to basically just stick whatever content is needed to a physical object, whether that be the wall, the ground. And so this allows the user to walk around it, and basically it appears as though that object is staying in the same place without moving, when in fact the computer is doing all the work, and it's moving just as much as you're moving to the side, which may be a little bit more complex, but it's one of those things you kind of have to see.
Well, what's cool about that is that suddenly the world starts to work kind of the way your brain does, because you look
right.
at something and it triggers a whole line of thought, and now there's kind of an implicit or actually explicit line of thought built in to whatever's being triggered. And if the right things aren't being triggered, I think we'll have a lot to learn over the next few years about what interactions and what cues should be triggering what content. That's probably going to become a huge area of expertise for people over the
yeah we don't want to get overloaded with everything that could be possibly out there. We want just the right amount of information.
Right.
Still thinking about the uses for augmented reality, I can certainly foresee it being used in the field, like by soldiers in the field, preventing friendly fire, letting them know where the enemy is on an overlay or something like that. What do you, maybe not something quite as dramatic, but what are some uses in the law enforcement community?
One of the ways I can think of right off the top of my head is we have helicopter pilots that are actually utilizing augmented reality. Police helicopter pilots, when they're flying over a location and they look down, there is like an overlaid map of the actual street names, different landmarks and that sort of thing. So that's something that's been in effect now for over 2 years. And actually, I believe one of the companies was out of Colorado that was, basically selling these packages to different law enforcement agencies. And it's been very effective, because when you're flying overhead, you'd love to have something say, this is Highway 22, or this is, the shopping mall right here. And with augmented reality, that's just one way that it's assisting law enforcement. So I think also, too, one of the things we're going to see more, too, is that when we start utilizing, you know, augmented reality with other different technologies or other different mediums, it's going to also help. And as we see, there's been a lot of controversy talking about drones right now and having these sort of, having them go out and, you know, it's Big Brother. But when you start looking at search and rescue operations and if you can then start coupling in whether it's object recognition or mixing in augmented reality with some other types of technologies, it could be very powerful. So, we have police cars right now have license plate readers where you can drive at 50, 60 miles an hour and a car can come the other direction, and that technology will read that license plate and determine if there's a want or there's a stolen vehicle or that sort of thing. There's definitely a lot of debate over now. We're going to start probably looking at facial recognition and, you know, these sort of things coupled with augmented reality where, let's say, a police officer is driving. Now, one of the things the automotive industry is doing right now, they're working on implementing windshields that have augmented reality incorporated in them. So as you're driving down the road, navigation is one big piece of it. So if you're driving down the road and your car can recognize an object up ahead as the George Washington Bridge, then it would overlay on your windshield and say, hey, you know, this is a landmark for you. Or if maybe it would overlay a pedestrian walking in front of you up ahead. And, you know, we have this almost like heads-up display that would indicate that, you know, live tracking and that this is taking place. So there's a lot of different ways, you know, that, you know, you could use augmented reality. And then if you start to look at some of the police ways, then you might be able to tell heuristics on a suspicious person walking, you know, as you're driving a police car. They are walking, in a way that they might be concealing a firearm. They might be walking in a way that they might have some heavy, they're carrying some heavy device. Maybe it might be an explosive pack on them. I mean, there's just so many possibilities that pop up. But I want to take a step back, and I kind of want to get back to what Colin was talking about the education piece, because I think education is a very big area that we're going to see augmented reality grow. When we start thinking about museums and we start thinking about going to a cemetery, and if you have augmented reality glasses, you can actually see where there are certain people buried, and you could have a history of them where they can pop up, or you can have an augmented history lesson about where you're standing, or maybe you're at a famous battleground that took place, whether it's the Civil War and Gettysburg, and you can actually have this outside experience. And I know Colin was talking about inside the schools and all these cool things that his students are doing, but we actually can bring this stuff outdoors and get people outside. There's games where you can hold up your smartphones and kick augmented soccer balls around and trying to get kids off the couch and stop being couch potatoes and do something healthy. There's just so many things you could do, but I think the historical pieces where we might see the old Yankee Stadium knocked down, but if I hold up my smartphone or in the future augmented reality glasses, I can see where the old Yankee Stadium was, and I could see embedded pieces of history through augmented reality right in front of my eyes. And that's the type of stuff that's going to really, I think, jazz everybody who starts to pay attention to these things. Now, one last thing, and we'll, I really wanted to mention was kind of taking a step back when, Phil, you had mentioned about where we are with technology, and you talked about the cork boards when you were in school.
Right.
I just wanted to point out that there was a study that was done, it talked about the number of years it took for major technologies to reach 50% of the homes in America. Mm-hmm. It took the telephone 71 years to reach 50% of the homes in America. It took electricity 52 years to reach half of the homes in America. And then cell phones was 14 years, internet access 10, MP3 players 6. So when we start looking now at maybe the iPod, you know, we're talking about 1 or 2 years. And as these new technologies roll out more and more, whether it's iPads and that sort of thing, it's, you know, the old technologies, it took, you know, over half a decade to reach half the people, whereas now this stuff is coming out in lightning form. So I think it's important for us, and I think that's why this show is so important, and I appreciate you guys having us on as guests, to talk about how technology is moving so quickly that I think that AR you're going to see kick in, and you're going to see it coupled with facial recognition. You're going to see it coupled with some of the other new mediums that are coming out very quickly, and I think that's why it's so important to have these discussions.
Well, we're called on to adapt so much more quickly than we used to be. That's the thing about accelerating change. So far we've been up to the challenge, but this is going to be a big one. I love the scenario you gave around going to Gettysburg, and I think what an outstanding educational experience that would be to be standing in that battlefield and look at it as you see it now and be hearing information about it, and then just overlay, you know, here's Pickett's charge, right, and actually, you know, see some CGI version of it occurring, you know, actually see where they were standing and really get a feel for, you know, this is the second day and here's where they were, and then watch them move, and just having the whole thing come to life. I've been to Rome and there's this just field of ruins over by the Colosseum, and you can look at a picture of what it used to look like, and then you can look at it, but you can't really put the two together, you know what I mean? I'd love to stand there, look at it, and then have the actual thing laid on top, you know, and say, oh, okay, that's what they were experiencing. Colin, what do you think? That's how you want to teach, right?
I think that, yeah, when you can place them in an environment where they almost kind of forget where they are, and they're just so involved with it, it really is pretty amazing. I think with something that Joseph mentioned earlier about, you know, fixing boats, this is another really big thing is being able to have, I know that, you know, I Google search, how do I do this, for almost anything that I do, just outside of, you know, what I've kind of grown up knowing. But this is a big thing for augmented reality of being able to instantly access how to do anything. How do I fix this part on my car? You're stranded in the middle of the road. I need to do maintenance in my house. How do I go about doing this? It really will not only show you kind of what to do, but it's going to show you what to do on the objects that you're working around. And that, I think, brings a new level of awareness and integration that I think that can be scary for some, but I think overall, you know, people are going to see it as magic and not really know exactly all the technology that goes in it, but really, really, you know, be welcoming that sort of advancement.
Let's, you know what, I want to skip around just a little bit. I'm going to depart from the outline I gave to the show because I think it's important we talk a little bit about risk. Joe, something that you said, you were talking about the facial recognition software, and I don't know if everybody's seen Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol?
Yes.
Yes.
The IMF mm-hmm. already has that technology. That's my point. Okay, so they're, you know, thank God we've already got it, and you know, they've got field operatives walking around, and they can look at somebody and go, and boom, it brings up the whole database, and you know, ah, okay, that guy is ex-KGB, and he, you know, he's a mass murderer, and all that kind of stuff. But this brings me to the issue of risk, which is, you know how funny things happen sometimes with those. With those red light cameras, right? What happens when the facial recognition software makes a mistake, right? And the guy who's a certified public accountant gets arrested because it's made him as a terrorist. I'm going to throw out a few scenarios here for risk, and we can just kind of talk amongst ourselves on them. I know, Joe, that you've got some examples of people misusing the information that's available via augmented reality, which is kind of an extension of the problem we already have with social media. But another kind of extended problem is we know that it's risky when people are chatting, you know, when they're doing texting, when they should be driving, or when they're doing texting, when they should be walking, you know, or people are going to be using augmented reality and tripping all over the place, you know, or are they going to be having wrecks because they're going to be looking at what's on their augmented reality displays? Is it going to be against the law to drive while augmented? What do you think? What are the those are my immediate ideas for risks. I'll throw it to you guys.
There's, an, is unfortunately a new term that has kind of arisen from stuff like that, where you don't want to be known, there's Google Glasses, but you don't want to be known as a Google ass, because you might be walking around flaunting it and probably not watching where you're going. But I don't
actually,
think
we're on top of this story. The term is glass hole, right? You don't want to be a
glass hole. That's right. Yes, yeah, glass hole. Exactly.
So there's a net etiquette that will hopefully prevent people from doing that. But what do you think, Joe? You think risks of like inadvertent misuse by authorities? How big of a risk is that? And two, just people's inadvertent misuse of it, leading to all kinds of mayhem.
Well, let me start with the latter first, because that is one of the issues why I think some of these technologies, as we see them come out, there's a lot of concern, because, with lawsuits, and there's a friend of mine, his name is Brian Wassum, he has a website called augmentedlegality.com. And what he does is he actually advises, startup companies or companies that are in the AR field to kind of cover those sort of issues. Is that if somebody is driving down the road and they have potentially an augmented reality windshield and it obstructs their view and they strike somebody, what is the liabilities that go along with that, and those sort of things, or, that's just a potential of it. So, these sort of discussions are already taking place. And I think especially when it comes down to facial recognition, there's a company that's called Vutil that is very big in the facial recognition field. And again, they're also involved in augmented reality. There's another company called Polar Rose that was bought by Apple about 2 years ago that has amazing facial recognition and mixed in with augmented reality. And they have these prototypes. And, when you talk to these people in this field and you say, how come we're not seeing this? Their answer is, and I've talked to these people, their answer is, we don't know how to roll it out without getting issues such as privacy and stalking, and to get that pushback for those sort of things. So the technology is actually there. They just don't know how to roll it out in a way that's, going to be acceptable with the public and not have this backlash. We saw that when Facebook started to utilize facial recognition to start tagging other people, that did not go over very well, and there was a lot of concerns. I'm not worried. Believe me, I'm the first person that, I don't want a world of Big Brother and, freedom, all these freedoms that we enjoy in this country and people enjoy around the world. What I'm concerned about is the people that are utilizing this technology, not the government and not those sort of people. It's the people, the terrorists, the people that are looking to take this technology and cause harm to the public, to our civilians, and that sort of thing. And it kind of, Colin mentioned it briefly before, is he talked about how you can take this technology and you could become really a subject matter expert in 2 minutes. So there's actually a really good YouTube video where they have a BMW engine, and now I'm not a mechanic, and I'm horrible at working on cars and that sort of thing. But in this YouTube video, the person puts on a pair of augmented reality glasses, and it has an overlay on how to take apart the engine. And if I put those glasses on, I can take apart that engine in 10 minutes. And, that person that went to automotive school and spent all those years learning all the different tools and the craft and trade as a mechanic, I can learn that in 5 minutes. And it's almost, if we remember the movie The Matrix, when Trinity wants to learn how to fly a helicopter, and she just plugs in the helicopter lesson, and it just programs in her mind, and next thing you know, she knows how to fly a helicopter.
I love that.
That is the power of this technology. So the other thing is, and we're kind of, you brought about some of the concerns of that sort of thing, and this is no secret, so I can say this, is that, we can take somebody, and let's face it, the internet is a great place to radicalize people. The internet's a great place to spread misinformation. Out there on the internet, there's some websites that say the South won the Civil War still. So
right.
There's just so much information, and when you start thinking about ways of of radicalizing people or recruiting people to do bad things and harm people, we can actually take this sort of technology through augmented reality and we can basically have people and turn them into subject matter experts. And maybe it's not subject matter experts to clean the earth up and make it free, but maybe to make bombs or maybe to make meth labs or maybe to find different ways to do bad things. That's a real concern, and these are the things that I'm more worried about. And not the Big Brother thing, but ways that people are going to use it. Now there's been all these debates between like animal rights activists, and they're flying drones over the hunters and they're watching them. And as we start coupling these sort of technologies with facial recognition, explosives, when we start moving all this stuff together, that's where it keeps me awake at night. But again, I get paid to kind of think about those sort of things. But as we start looking at this, it is just so powerful and so amazing. It really is amazing. But the one thing I want to point out is there is a fiction author. His name is Daniel Suarez, and he wrote several books, and they incorporate augmented reality. And one is called Demon or Damon, and the other one is called Freedom TM. And he talks about these worlds, society utilizing this type of technology, kind of fill about some of the things we're thinking about, and talking about how you can have all of these layers of information, and at any time you just tap into a layer that you want to look at on the fly. And it's pretty amazing, and just the whole concept of it, whether it could be used for good or bad, is irrelevant. It's just the amazing power if you could just look at a layer, just like as we look over Google Maps and we want to see the bird's eye view or we want to see the street view. All of that stuff can come to play right before our eyes, and that can be done through augmented reality. So it's just a blow-away concept, and it really is hard to kind of, I'm sure for your listeners, as they're listening to us discuss all this stuff, it's really hard to wrap your head around it because there's just so many ways you can move with this powerful technology.
Absolutely, and it's a really good point that all the capability that falls into the hands of normal people and that falls into the hands of the good guys, with every new surge, it always it ends up in the hands of the bad guys as well. So we as we become more empowered, as we become more capable, people who want to harm us do too. So there's this interesting ongoing tension that we see. Well, before we leave the topic of risk, because we want to get to the cool stuff and the fun stuff, Colin, we kind of jumped away from you just when this started. Are there other risks that you're concerned about, maybe in particular from your perspective? Are there educational risks related to augmented reality or risks within that environment in particular?
I think for the most part, the risk that we see is a little bit kind of touched on earlier, is that the internet is a very open place. There's a lot of information. So the ability for wrong information to be placed in places where it's meant to be very accurate can cause for a lot of concern. I think that, not only for an education setting, but whether you're driving or a ton of other things, if wrong information is supplied, I think a good example is people driving, I think it was in Australia, people drove into a lake, so their GPS sent them into a lake because they took a wrong turn. This is something that, could happen if you rely on technology too much and you rely on that floating arrow that's in front of your face to say, you need to turn left down this road that doesn't exist. So it's a concern, to look at that. I do like to kind of quote, I think it's a doctor from Futurama, says, no technology is inherently evil. And I really truly believe that, is that, we as humans get to choose how we deal with this. And it's really important that we are aware of those sort of things so that we can, steer augmented reality in the good light, so that it's not getting a negative connotation. Because really it's just another layer on top of other technologies, and we're really all dealing with those privacy issues with Facebook and all of the other social medias that, I personally hope that a lot of the privacy sort of things are smoothed out and a lot of those sort of things are taken care of, before augmented reality becomes mainstream, so that there's almost a sort of consensus on how we handle that technology.
Yeah, well, I hope it works out that way. That often we learn by having things smack us in the face, but sometimes there are less shocking ways to learn. But I think it's time to leave the subject of risk, because we just got a few minutes left, and we definitely want to get to some of the more fun stuff. Stephen, what do you think?
Well, I just want to throw this out to either of our guests. So far, we're still in very early days of this. The first major product that will probably be Google Glass, right? It's not yet out there just yet. But so far, what's the most surprising AR application you've seen to date? And I guess I'll start with Joseph.
That is a very good question. I think one of the interesting things that I've seen is this whole concept. There's a company called Leap Motion, where you're able to hold out your hands, and basically through infrared, it will be able to use your hand movements to basically, you know, click an invisible mouse, so to speak. Or you can actually, you know, have an augmented view in front of you, and you can move things around, just kind of like you'd see in the Minority Report. So I think that is very powerful. I know there's another interesting app that just came out called, or it's been out for a while, it's called AR Plane Finder. And you could actually hold it up to the sky, and the plane might be 6 miles out. It's emitting a beacon. Excuse me. It's emitting a beacon, and it's picked up by the app, and you actually can see an augmented view of that plane, where how far out it is. So, I mean, that to me is pretty incredible. But there's just simple apps out there. Colin mentioned Erasma. You can use Erasma right now, and through other apps such as Wikitude, and this is something I encourage your listeners to do. Wikitude is Wikitude. You could fire that app right now, and you can see all different layers. I can see a layer of all the people that have geotagged their YouTube videos by holding up my phone and doing a 360 in any direction. I can see the distance of somebody that posted if they geotagged their YouTube video, or I could see the distance of their tweet, or I could see their profile if they geotag it in a certain direction. That to me is pretty blow away, because now social networking isn't just, you know, hey, Phil, you and I are connected on Facebook. I can see where you are, Phil, or at least where you did your tweet or where you did your post or where you posted your YouTube video in a physical location. So basically what we're going to start to see, and this leads on to your question, Stephen, is that we're going to start to see all of these informations that are dropped all over. There's another app out there called Foursquare, where people are checking in all over the place. And now through Foursquare, and it's also can be overlaid in augmented reality, we can start to see in our neighborhood by holding up our phones where all of this stuff is taking place right on, you know, through the actual smartphone. So that's a blowaway concept. A lot of people don't know that. It's very easy. You could do that right now before the show ends, fire it up and see augmented reality right in front of your eyes. So that's the cool stuff. And there's so much more that's coming out. I mean, Google Glass, the facial recognition, the moving of the – when AR first came out, there was markers, and now they're markerless. So I can basically, through that one app that Colin just mentioned regarding Erasma, so I could take pictures and overlay it and then have that come up in a live environment. And so I could do hidden messages if I want, or I could just, you know, put stuff out there so anybody that shines. And also augmented reality graffiti that people I could do graffiti that way. So, you know, and again, that could be a hidden message if you want to. So all of these different things, but I don't want to hog all the airtime.
That is such a much more versatile way of doing graffiti, huh? And and
they've done it on
less,
the Liberty
less
Bell,
destructive too. Yeah,
yeah,
the Liberty Bell.
What a great idea. Well, I got to tell you that One of those first ideas you mentioned, you talked about Minority Report, and I was hoping someone would mention that, because Colin was talking earlier about, you know, getting away from the clunky keyboard model down into the iPad model and beyond there. One of the things I'm really looking forward to is something like in Minority Report, because what I liked about that world was everything was big. I'm actually a person who still uses the biggest keyboard I can, just because I'm more comfortable with that, and I like to use a big mouse. I like the idea of having a really huge keyboard in front of me where I'm, like, pounding on the keys one hand at a time, you know, like they're bongos. I would think it would be a good exercise, and it just seems like it would be a lot more satisfying. But those are the kinds of options we'll have. Everything doesn't have to get smaller. If people wanted to get bigger, it can get bigger too, which is completely in the other direction from how we've been going. How about you, Colin? What's the most surprising thing you've seen to date?
Yeah, well, just to talk on your last topic there, it is a weird subject of as technology gets smaller and smaller, I think that the big part of what makes this important is that it becomes more personal and that technology is more aligned towards you. And so it gets so small that in your perception, you can basically view it anywhere that you want. And I think that the cool things that blow me away, I see in different stages. Currently with the apps that we have on our iPads, with things like Erasma, you've got apps like String, an app called Augment. Augment's really neat because it allows you to, you could even put in, play with Google SketchUp and create a 3D model, export it, import it into this app, and be able to see it right in front of you, walk around it. I think it's cool that people can see furniture in their house well before they even move it in. Is that couch going to fit just right in that area? Or is this TV going to fit on the wall? Or is it going to look right? Those are current stuff that's happening now, and those are all, you know, apps you can find in the App Store. But I really think the next sort of stuff is as we see the hardware starting to change, we see technology, AR from Microsoft, the sight sensor, I'm just forgetting the name. There is a group that has a website, openpool.org. What they've done is they've set up one of those devices and a projector over a pool table. It allows you to basically be a pool master. You can have your cue and line it up, and it's going to tell you the exact trajectory of where that ball is going to hit and tell you exactly which hole it's going to go into. Anyone can basically be a master at playing pool. And then I think the last sort of
thing I gotta get
really,
that. I totally
really,
have to get that. Can it make you good at ping
right?
pong? That's what I want. Okay.
Wouldn't that be amazing? It'd
yeah.
be great. So the last thing that I really see is cool is this I think the next level of even Google Glass is a website called meta-view.com, group Meta.
Mm-hmm.
They are kind of going with a two-part technology, and I think this is even from the beginning of our conversation tonight, integrating other senses. Is it not only brings a visual sense and actually magnetizes or sticks digital information like Facebook or so onto a wall or a window, but allows you to use your hands in the physical air very much like Minority Report. So you can stick up your hand and flick it up in the air. You can actually give a thumbs up to like something on Facebook. So it's really, really taking us into that next stage, which is integrating those other senses.
Very cool.
What's the thing that that's exciting you the most going forward?
Probably helping me cook. I'm not very good at that.
Yeah.
And so if I can wear something that tells me what to cut, where to put it, how to stir it, I think that really helped me out.
Yeah.
That would be great. How about you, Joe? What's the application you're most looking forward to with augmented reality?
Well, you know, and it's kind of an education thing. I'm a big baseball fan, so I would love to have some sort of augmented reality wearables and be able to see when a batter's up at a stadium, you know, what's his percentage hitting to left field. You know, I want to see the batting layer right in front of my eyes. For training, we can have kids that are playing high school football wear augmented glasses in their helmets, and they can train and go through plays to show them exactly when to make a cut left or cut right, for a certain play. I mean, there's just so many ways that you can learn through augmented reality. And as Colin mentioned about Meta-View, this Meta is the name of the company. They are out of New York. Dr. Stephen Finer from Columbia University was one of the people driving that, and they, as Colin just said, they just launched. They expect to have like a 3D app store that's going to be coming out to kind of integrate with a lot of the stuff that you're doing. So that is a company to really pay attention for. And it's not just Google. Microsoft has a lot of patents in the hopper. There's a lot of other companies. There's different visual wear that's coming out. Vuzix is another big company. And there's going to actually be an upcoming conference out in Santa Clara called the Augmented World Expo, where all of the big augmented reality people are going to be, and that's going to be June 4th and 5th out in Santa Clara. And
I'm pretty excited to be going to that, actually.
Okay, cool. Yep, I will be there. But
school's ending just before that, so yeah, really excited to be heading out to that.
Yeah, I really encourage any listeners that are really interested in this. That's the place to be. They're having all the biggest names in the augmented field that are going to be out there. And again, this stuff is growing. And I'm going to sell you, Phil, on this whole thing. You know, it's going to be bigger than a toaster. Maybe I'll come back one day and I'm going to ask you that question again.
Okay. Well, I'm partially convinced. Let me tell you, the baseball thing has got me super excited because let me just see if I can test a thought here. What if we gave umpires augmented reality that actually showed them the strike zone? Huh? What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. There you go. That's a perfect example.
And then if they called it wrong, we'd go back and actually you wouldn't need umpires anymore, right? You'd just have a robot.
Everybody can see it.
Well, guys, I can't believe how fast the time has gone by. There's so much more that we would like to talk about. And that means we're going to have to do this as a regular thing. We'd love to have you guys back. We'll plan something maybe in 6 months or something like that and just kind of check in on the world of augmented reality if you're both amenable to that. It's great talking with both of you.
My pleasure.
Great being here. Really, really fun.
Folks, I've got links to Joe's blog and to his podcast over on worldtransform.com. Check that out. And we look forward to tracking augmented reality as it goes. I think it may in fact be almost as big as the toaster. Stephen, what's our music this evening?
Our music tonight is Underground by Almighty Whispers.
Almighty Whispers singing Underground. Well, thanks for putting that together. Thanks once again to our outstanding guests, and thanks to our friends in the chat room, everyone listening live, and everyone listening via MP3. Thanks for being part of The World Transformed. We'll be back again next week at the regular time with a brand new show. And until next time, live to see it.